This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Giannis Antetokounmpo last night hurts his calf. And now this morning, we learn about this injury. After an MRI, Giannis has left Achilles tendonis per Woj, is fully intact, and his return to play will come and with how quickly his left calf strain heals, sources tell ESPN. We will get to that in just a couple of minutes. But first, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That is your telephone number to be a part of our show. As Pat Costello, our producer.
Did you just call him Pat?
You did say Pot.
I said Pot?
Pot Costello.
Whatever.
Is it because he's a squatter? So if he went from Pat to Pot because he's a squatter? I don't know.
What were you trying to do there? Well, did I write that joke for you?
Yeah.
It wasn't even a joke.
I was just trying to figure out how you arrived at Pot.
I think I just screwed up. That's it.
Okay. Simple.
So Pat is telling us that he wants to be, this is an interesting angle, he wants to become a squatter in Arizona, to which all of us are just beyond confused as to how these laws exist. Craig in North Carolina, listening on 99.9 The Fan in Raleigh. What's up, Craig?
Hey, how's it going? Big fan.
Thank you. What did I say? I'm done talking.
What you got for us,
you
Craig?
You guys talk.
Can you explain the squatter business to us?
Yeah, so adverse possession is an old law dating back from Britain where essentially people had all this land. And if you slept on your rights, didn't take care of it for 20 years, somebody could take over a piece of that land. Mm. Does it make sense? Nowadays, much more modern times, people have a lot less land, but that's where it came from. But Arizona is weird because the time period is a lot shorter. In most other states, 20 years, which is a lot harder to do.
Yeah, I think in New York, it's 30 days. That's the crazy part.
30 days?
New York is 30 days right now.
30 days?
If somebody is in a property for 30 days, then they are considered a tenant, and they have a claim to ownership of the property.
Pat, you might want to get in your car.
Yeah, I'm about to say, Pat. I don't think you got to go all the way to Arizona, Pat. You might could get that done in New York City, cuz.
There might be some interesting, like, weird bylaws there, but this says 10 years for New York.
Oh, it does?
Like, there might be some issues that pop up after 30 days, but I think to actually claim ownership, it's a 10-year period.
Yeah, but I think you can claim being a tenant after 30 days in New York. And then somebody has a beef with that, then they have to take you to housing court, which takes years to get somebody out.
Great.
So by the time you go through housing court, the 10 years might be up, and you might actually have a claim.
So if I rented, I was a renter in New York City for a long period of time. I just don't leave. It's mine?
They can't kick you out. They have to go through housing court in order
They
to
don't
do
just
that.
Get police?
No. It's considered a civil matter in New York. Like, I know a lot of people that are landlords in New York City. Like, it's considered a civil matter. And you have to go to housing court, and it takes years to evict somebody through housing court.
Also, Craig was saying that the law was put in place for people who had property and they didn't care for it after 20 years. But isn't that my right as a homeowner to care for or not care for my property as I see fit?
It's mine.
I own it.
Well, that's the interesting thing. Like, we always say with contracts with players in sports, the contract is to be paid, not to be played. The coach can decide whatever it is that they want to do with the team. Isn't it the same in a weird way in housing? I can buy it. It doesn't matter if I live in it. I own it. That Correct. Doesn't give you the right Correct. To come in and live. If all of a sudden, you know, I have a place in New York and I have a place in Florida and I haven't been to the place in Florida for over a year, which literally happened to me during the pandemic. That doesn't give someone else the right to then live there.
Yeah, if you're still paying for it, it's yours.
Actually, I guess it does give somebody else the right. How does it give someone else the right?
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I'll never understand it.
You should live there more.
Well, I don't own it now.
Well, it was during a global pandemic. He kind of couldn't.
Yeah, wow. Mike in Tennessee listening on the ESPN app. What's up, Mike?
Guys, hey, Kenny, I say you're right for once. It is 30 days, and that's actually most states. And what it is after 30 days, you're no longer considered a guest. You're then a resident of the place. Now, your name doesn't go on any deeds or anything like that, but the actual person, whether it be the original leaseholder or the owner of the property, if they want you to leave the residence, they have to technically go evict you.
Yeah, they gotta.
I actually know this because I actually found myself in a similar situation when I was 18, and my aunt got mad at me and wanted me to leave, and so she had to evict my ass.
Your aunt.
Wow. Your aunt had to take you to housing court to evict
wow.
you?
Wow, Mike.
Damn, Mike. You rolling up on family like that, bro?
Wait, he just gave me an idea.
What?
Well, my in-laws have a place in Florida, and I've stayed there for over 30 days. Can I now claim that it's mine?
You can claim that you're a tenant.
Hmm. It's an interesting angle
here. Nice piece of real estate, huh?
All of a sudden, I have a place in Florida again. This is great.
Is it on a golf course? Is it waterfront? What are we talking?
Nick in North Carolina, listening on 99.9 The Fan.
Hello.
In Raleigh. What's up, Nick?
We do the show from there.
Right?
Hey, I have the answer of why the West Coast is weird on squatter rights.
What we got, Nick?
When they were trying to settle the West in the 1800s, you had a whole bunch of land, and it was all confusing who owned what. And to help people actually wanted to settle it, live on it. So if you went out there and you lived there for 3 years or 10 years, 20 years, it was yours because they didn't want to have a bunch of land barons who said, I own these 3,000 acres and nobody can touch them. So if you lived on it, it was yours. It was a way to get people out there and get them out of the East Coast.
Sure, but shouldn't we have updated laws?
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like this.
Nope.
Sure, back in the wild, wild west and westward expansion, I could understand why this would make sense. But I know we got a lot going on as a society, but shouldn't we have a faction of some sort of branch of government that's checking these laws and making sure they're adapted to modern times?
Yeah, there are slightly more people than we had in the 1800s now.
Correct.
Slightly more people. I mean, what do we have, 400 million people almost? Like,
property ownership is a little different.
I think we're good. I think everything is settled.
Yeah, we're not bartering goats and stuff.
I know our show is not even
like
a year.
Trail, <'cause laughs> right.
We're not
dysentery.
A year old. But I'd like to pitch a spinoff show of Unsportsmanlike.
What's that?
I'd like to pitch Rob Lorenzo, our social and digital guy, following Pat Costello around Arizona trying to get a squatting rights house somewhere, like some mansion in Arizona.
I'll tell you what.
Like Unsquatsman-like?
Unsquatsman-like. Amazing, Pat.
Bravo,
your sponsorship here. Couldn't you see Pat going to Arizona? Remember Cliff Kingsbury during the draft, that beautiful house he had in Arizona?
What a house.
That house absolutely has some sort of guest house.
Oh, with the outdoor fire pit?
You know it does.
Great.
Pat could easily just post up in that guest house and in Cliff Kingsbury's old crib, and nobody would probably know he was there.
Oh, yeah, he could have hosted us for the national championship game.
Exactly.
But you're onto something.
Living our best life.
You're
onto
something.
For sure has a guest house.
Why not go? I don't know the laws in Kentucky. Why not go to Calipari's house?
Oh.
Why not go to any player's house that doesn't live in the city that they play?
Which is every player.
Exactly.
That doesn't play in Miami.
And a player or coach and just squat in their crib.
No, but we, yeah. What if we
why not?
Go to the pool house.
Exactly.
Pat,
I own it.
Any athlete or coach, you don't live in the city that you play in, I'm squatting in your crib.
And then when they come
home.
When
you come back for the offseason, guess what? We roommates.
Yeah. When they come home, who are you? I'm the owner.
Pat, what do we think?
I really like these electric blinds, bro. These are awesome.
I don't know. This 30-day New York thing is sounding pretty good the more I'm looking into it.
He's going to move into your house. All of a sudden, you and your wife are going to get home, and there's Pat.
Right? Pat Costello
like,
in the
hey,
crib.
Can we make sure we have more Pellegrino in the fridge?
No, we're a LaCroix household, Pat.
Oh, very
so
good.
You know,
very good.
Just so you're
hey, you guys are out of ketchup? Would you mind grabbing some
never,
at the store?
We're never out of ketchup, Pat. There are some things that we're never out of.
I feel like the Canty
ketchup,
House
you're never
household
out of,
never
has
out
a
of
lot
ketchup,
of condiments.
Never out of Simply Lemonade. What are some of the other things
Ooh, Simply
that we
Lemonade.
Have? Simply Lemonade.
Ketchup
never,
and Simply Lemonade is a crazy
sauce,
combination.
Never out of hot sauce.
Yeah, your house is stacked on condiments. I know.
Never out of barbecue sauce.
We're never out of soy sauce because I keep all the packets in a Ziploc bag in the fridge.
Of course you do, Evan.
Really, Evan?
Do you put them in your pocket?
You're
going to
judge me after all this?
But packets of soy sauce?
In addition to the bottle. But when you order Chinese food or sushi, they give you the soy
That's
sauce.
That's ridiculous.
Why is that ridiculous?
Because it just takes up space in the drawer.
No, it's not. I put it in a Ziploc bag in the fridge.
And
I'm
you know
very what, organized in my fridge.
But you know what happens is that you have the bottle of soy sauce. You use the bottle and the bag full of the sample, the small packets just accumulates and accumulates and accumulates.
Exactly.
It does. That means we're never out of it.
Also, why is it that they always give you extra soy sauce even though you don't want it and like you... Like, they look at you like they want to fight you when you ask for extra duck sauce. When you order
Chinese food. They
yes.
skip it on the duck sauce.
Yeah, they skip on the duck
they
sauce.
They skip on the duck sauce. They'll give you as much soy sauce as you want, but the duck sauce, no.
The old school Chinese restaurants with, like, the dried noodles and the duck sauce, tremendous.
Yeah.
The whole concept.
I've never had bad duck sauce.
I agree. The whole concept of bread or chips pre-meal is one of the most underrated concepts ever. You just sit down. Yes, you're paying for a meal, but when they give you bread and butter, oh, tremendous.
Oh, they sucker you in. Don't fall for it, Ev.
Why? It's great.
No. It just that takes up space.
When you go to a Mexican restaurant and they get chips,
but
it's great.
That takes up all of the space, man. I want to eat the food. I'm not there for the chips or the bread.
You turn the bread and chips down?
Yes.
Oh, I'm disgusted by you.
I can't turn it down.
How dare you?
But it does take up valuable real estate in the stomach.
Here's the one I will say. When they have the balsamic and
the oil.
Parmesan.
Yeah, the oil and the Parmesan.
Tremendous.
With some olives, too.
Oh, and focaccia.
Yeah. When they go to the Mediterranean, the Italian. Yeah, it's just,
perfect.
They'll get me with that. If you got a nice glass of red wine,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah. Do a little scarpetta, scrape it up.
That's when I'll get involved with the bread. But otherwise, not so much. Or I'm at Red Lobster, and it's the Cheddar Bay biscuits.
Oh, those are elite.
I will get involved with those as well.
When was the last time you were at Red Lobster?
I ordered Red Lobster to go.
Nice.
Not too long ago.
Do you get crab legs?
Not too long ago.
Okay.
Yeah, you're talking about a couple months. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. No, I'm not going there for the seafood.
Idea. Should Pat be squatting at a Mexican restaurant so he can get unlimited chips and salsa?
He lives in a Mexican restaurant. Matt in Texas.
It's not a bad idea. I'm just throwing out options
here. He moves into a Mexican restaurant. What's up, Matt?
Hey, yeah, I'm going to let you know, 30 days in Texas, you can officially be a resident. And if you receive mail there, it automatically makes you a resident. And I wanted to tell Michelle about outdated laws. Do you know you can still be hung in Texas for cattle rustling? Punching
cattle
out.
Wrestling.
Texas is dangerous,
though. That took a twist.
Texas is dangerous.
Yeah, no, I don't know about Texas.
I lived in Texas, and they got something out there called Castle Doctrine. That means not only if somebody rolls up on your house, you can shoot them, but if somebody rolls up on your neighbor house, you can shoot them, too. So I'm just saying, Texas is a little bit different. I don't know if you want to go try to squat in Texas, Pat. Probably not a great idea.
That's going to be a hard pass for me.
Yeah, that's a hard no for
me,
dog.
We're talking about cattle wrestling still being
around. Yeah, I don't know if you want to do that to somebody's house in Texas.
Well, this ain't Texas. We're on Squatsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Big news last night in the NBA. Giannis Antetokounmpo gets hurt. Calf injury. Adrian Wojnarowski reporting this morning, the phenomenal NBA insider, of course, that Giannis's injury is one that has everything to do with the calf and not the Achilles as of this moment. The rehab, we don't know how long it's going to take. We don't know when he's going to come back. We don't know if ultimately it could impact other parts of the body like the Achilles.
Yep.
The Bucks have been struggling as it is. I don't know when he's coming back. I don't know if he should rush back.
I will say this, as somebody that dealt with a serious calf strain, this is something that takes a while to get back to 100% from. I remember when I was playing for the Giants, I injured my calf in week 2. I didn't get back into the starting lineup until week 13.
Let me just jump in with one thing here. Sorry, I want to give you a breaking news football-wise. It's all over the place now. It's amazing. Adam Schefter reported Pro Bowl linebacker Josh Allen. This is no small one. 5 years, $150
million.
$88 million guaranteed. Franchise record, 17 and a half sacks last year. Pro Bowl linebacker Josh Allen, Jaguars, 5 years, 150, wow. $88 million guaranteed.
Good old Josh Allen, boy. Good old you. Montclair's very own. Good on Josh Allen for being able to get that back. They made him earn it, too. They made him play out the string when it came to his rookie contract, the franchise tag, all that. He got his back. Congratulations to Josh Allen.
Maybe you'll buy Calipari's
house. It's a great time to have a career year. What do I always say, Smalls, about fresh cash? Nothing motivates a player like fresh cash.
Did you say that?
This dude set a franchise record in sacks last year and got the bag for it. Good on him.
Kentucky alum. He could buy or squat at Calipari's house now, I'm sure.
Oh, my gosh. He's got to squat at nobody's house. With $88 million guaranteed, he's straight.
Somebody's squatting at one of his houses.
He's
going to
buy Cal's house and the one next door. He's okay.
So, sorry. Just wanted to make sure we got that.
He's going to buy his neighbor's house and turn it into a yard.
There you go.
Shout out to Tyler, the creator.
We also had in the NBA last night a bunch of other interesting games, including the Lakers and the Warriors, as the Warriors beat the Lakers last night. 134-120, no AD for the Lakers. And now the Warriors are 44-35. The Lakers are 45-35. The play-in standings in and around that are really interesting on the bottom half of the Western Conference and the top half, but different teams, obviously. You got Minnesota, Denver, and Oklahoma City competing for the one spot. Minnesota and Denver play tonight. OKC is one back. The Clippers seemingly are locked into the four. The Mavs feel like they may be locked into the five. Two-game difference there. Those two will play in the first round. But then you've got New Orleans at 47-32 in the sixth spot. They're one game up on Phoenix, who lost to the Clippers last night, who got destroyed early on in that game. Sacramento is one game back. Lakers a half game back. And the Warriors are two games back of the seventh seed right now in the Western Conference. You would have Phoenix, Sacramento, Lakers, Warriors, but Lakers are only a half game up on the Warriors now to host that game in that 9-10 matchup.
Yeah, but here's the thing that's scary about the play-in is what happened last night. Steph Curry, the Golden State Warriors catching fire, Klay Thompson getting involved. Draymond Green was 5-for-5 from three-point land in the first half. Who had that on the bingo card?
Not me.
Nobody. So, I mean, when you start talking about a one-game winner-take-all scenario, what happened last night could happen on any given night. And that's why, as a Lakers fan, I got a lot of angst because before last night's game, I had hope that we could climb out of that 9-10 game and potentially get into the 7-8 game, maybe push the Sacramento Kings down. But based on what we saw, it feels like the Lakers are going to be locked into that 9-10 game, and you have no margin for error because you got to win two consecutive play-in games in order to get into the playoffs. And so now the biggest question is, where is that game going to be played? Is that game going to be at the Crypt, or is it going to be at the Chase Center in San Francisco? Like, I have serious concerns about what's going to happen for the Lakers in the play-in. Before, we were talking about LeBron James being poised to go on a deep playoff run because of how the Lakers have been trending in the last couple of weeks and how Anthony Davis has turned it on, especially on the defensive end. But now we could be talking about a scenario where LeBron James and the Lakers don't even make the playoffs. That is a scary proposition, Smalls.
As a Lakers fan, do you think that that's going to happen?
I don't think it's going to happen because it's a different team when AD is out there.
Yeah,
now, here's the thing, and I'll give credit where credit is due. The Lakers played about as well as they could without AD in the lineup, right? I mean, you're talking about a team that only had 8 turnovers last night. But when Golden State is shooting the way that they're shooting, they shot 26 of 41 from three-point land. That's 63%. Ooh. They made that 26 three-point makes. That is next to impossible when the team makes 26 threes. I mean, that's 14 more three-pointers than the Lakers made. It's next to impossible to win a basketball game when the team is shooting like that. Now, you have to cross your fingers and hope that Steph Curry and the Warriors don't catch fire. But again, you're betting against the greatest shooter that God ever made on a winner-take-all game. I don't want to be in that position as a Lakers fan, but I feel like we're going to be boxed into that 9-10 game. And that's what's so scary about where the Lakers are at right now.
The interesting thing is that both teams may rather the game in L.A. The Warriors are better on the road than they are at home this season, and the Lakers are much better at home than they are on the road. I mean, if you look at the Warriors' record away from home, it's 24-16. At home, it's 20-19. The Lakers at home are 28-14. Away, 17-21.
Well, I couldn't tell they were 28-14 at home last night.
Well, they weren't. They didn't have their
I couldn't tell that last night.
You know what's interesting, though? We've had all season, and I think understandably so considering the past, talking about the Lakers and the Warriors and their struggles this year and not being where they wanted to be, et cetera, et cetera. Each of them is going to win 45 games or more. It's not like they had some awful season that they're getting in at 41-41 or 40-42. They still have had a respectable season through this whole thing.
But with those stars, you expect dominance. Yeah. You don't expect respectable season when we're talking about the Warriors or LeBron James and the Lakers.
I mean, do we expect that at this point in their career, this deep into their career, regular season, where they know it doesn't really matter for them if what they do in the regular season versus the postseason?
Just punch your ticket and see what happens in the playoffs?
Yeah, now it's harder now because of the fact that you have to win two games to get the one series, right? That's the guy,
but whoever wins that 9 or 10 game, they're going to get into the playoffs. Whoever wins that 9 or 10 game, because I have no faith in the Kings or the Suns. Zero. I mean, the Kings blow 20-point leads like it's going out of style.
But they play the Warriors well.
I think last night was their fourth 20-point lead that they've blown this season. Like, that's what the Kings do. And then, are you really going to bet on the Phoenix Suns, the worst fourth-quarter team in the NBA? No. So I think whoever wins that 9-10 game is going to get into a real playoff series. But, I mean, if you're the NBA, you're looking at it and you're saying, we're going to have to deal with the playoffs without LeBron or Steph Curry. That's not exactly where you want to be.
As of right, I'm just looking, is there any way, here's the way that is not right, theoretically. Do we think that either one of them could pass Sacramento?
No.
Well, then, yeah, then that's what it is, right? I mean, you could have a scenario, though, if Sacramento somehow beats the Suns in their first play-in game, the 7-8, the winner of the Lakers-Warriors, so Steph or LeBron against KD for one spot. So we would have two straight elimination games involving Steph Curry, LeBron James, and Kevin Durant. That's pretty exciting. Until it's over.
It's exciting. And then
until it's over.
I mean.
So what are you more interested in, the bottom of the West or the top of the West?
I think the bottom is a little juicier, like the storylines and the potential matchups.
Minnesota, Denver, and Oklahoma City are one game apart, though, right now.
I mean, the winner of tonight's game against Minnesota and Denver, they're going to be in the driver's seat to have the best overall record in the Western Conference. So. That is interesting. I hate that the Timberwolves are coming off of the second night of a back-to-back, but that's just what it is.
And so are the Nuggets, because the scheduling is ridiculous here with the NBA. They should not have done it this way.
But the T-Wolves are on the road, though. And at altitude, second night of a back-to-back, not a great recipe.
So we have all of this going on in the NBA in the Western Conference. The Eastern Conference now is, I don't want to say marred by Giannis' injury, but certainly impacted to some extent by Giannis' injury. They do beat the Celtics last night in that game. The Celtics are 62-17, 14 games up on the 2 seed, which would be Milwaukee, the only other team in the East that's clinched a playoff spot non-play-in. Milwaukee, the Knicks, the Magic, and the Cavs and the Pacers are separated by 2.5 games. Mm. Right now, if you had to bet a dollar ESPN bet as to who the 2 seed is in the East.
New York Knicks.
The Knicks.
Knicks. Let's go, Nuno. The Knicks.
The Knicks.
Knicks, yeah. I have no doubt that the Knicks will be the 2 seed. The only question I have is whether or not Jalen Brunson is going to be able to tie Bernard King's record for a number of 40-point games in a season. Right now, he's got 5. The record is 6. So can Jalen Brunson tie? But, I mean, I have no doubt it'll be the New York Knicks. They'll be the 2 seed.
So we're writing the Bucks off.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm ready to write them off.
Wow, Canty.
I don't know that you want to be the 2 seed, though.
Canty, you're just catching a lot of slander from... Have you realized that our TV producers, not that they don't like you, but they don't like
a lot
of
your... No, they hate you.
Yeah, okay. Mark Morales, who's producing today, who happens to be a Knick fan, talking about he's going to get you a pair of flip-flops for Christmas because he feels like you're flip-flopping on your Knicks takes.
What do you mean? How am I flip-flopping on the Knicks takes? Just because I think you're going to be the 2 seed don't mean I think you're going on a deep playoff run. I think it's going to be a relatively early exit because you just don't have enough.
And you're saying that because of the Bucks too, not necessarily because of your confidence in the Knicks.
Exactly. I know what the Knicks are going to be with Thibodeau and Jalen Brunson.
Yes.
I know what they're going to be every night, which is really, really good, but not good enough to compete once we get to the games that really matter.
I was thinking about this, and there's a promo running for Freddie and Harry where Freddie. Freddie's one of the nicest people that you'll meet. But he roots for more than one team, right? Like, he roots for the Cowboys and the Jets. Canty, is there like
what a rough combo.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. But, Canty, is there like an Eastern Conference team you want to root for? Because, you're rooting for two Western Conference teams.
I'm not rooting for two Western Conference teams.
Yes,
I'm
you
not.
Are.
I'm not. I'm a fan of Anthony Edwards, but we just spent the better part of this entire segment talking about the Lakers.
You're a T-Wolves fan.
I've talked about the Lakers more on this show this morning than I have the Timberwolves.
I'm not doubting
that. Anthony Edwards just dropped 51 points.
Confirmed.
Well, I want to say...
I don't understand. I am a Lakers fan.
T-Wolves guy. Big T-Wolves guy over here.
That is so unfair.
That is unfair.
I know fandom. I'm good with the fandom. Trust me. Not a front runner in any way, shape, or form.
Hey, Nuno, are the Knicks going to get out of the first round of the playoffs?
Ooh. We'll see what the matchup is.
I mean, if it's the Sixers or the Heat, are the Knicks going to get out of the first
we'll
round of the playoffs?
We'll see what the matchup is. So much confidence.
If it's the Sixers or the Heat,
wait, now you're turning on the Knicks?
No, he wanted to go there. I know. He wants to do all this. He wants to attack me.
I mean, how's the how's the NBA going to call that series against Bam? Is he going to like keep doing those illegal screens?
Oh, yeah. Now turn his mic off, Devontae.
It didn't really matter last year. I mean, Jimmy Butler was out and it still didn't help the Knicks. So good luck with that.
Nuno's a coward.
All these producers up there wearing the shiny suits and everything. Come on, come to death row. By the way, while Mark is referencing the flip-flops and the footwear, Skechers is where you should go for that. Skechers footwear, stylish comfort for men, women, and kids. And Skechers will bring you positive. I give up. Programming next. What's false?
Why can't you talk today?
It's positive. Just a radio show. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
It is time for some positive programming here on Unsportsmanlike. I'm Michelle Smallman alongside Evan Cohen and Super Bowl champion Chris Canty. I think we need some positive programming today, maybe more than ever. We're all riled up with squatters' rights.
Yeah, we got a lot going on this morning.
Well, positive programming, as always, is brought to you by Skechers Footwear. Stylish comfort for men, women, and kids, Smalls.
Okay, first up, guys, Ellie De La Cruz, 22-year-old electric player from the Cincinnati Reds. I am a St. Louis Cardinals fan, and he is one of my favorite players to watch in baseball, Evan.
Wow, see how
that but see how that works, that you can have a favorite team and one a favorite player that's not necessarily on your team?
Don't look at me with this, Cece, because everyone that listens to our show every day, which thank you, knows you're all in on the T-Wolves. You want the T-Wolves to win the title more than the Lakers.
Yes, but Smalls is actually rooting for a player that's on a division rival.
I love Ellie De La Cruz.
Hers is worse.
Yeah, she's rooting for a player that's on a division rival.
Well, maybe she's smart because our buddy DJ Hodge, who runs all of ESPN Cincinnati, is coming in and meeting us today. So maybe she's intelligent, saying, hey, Cincinnati is supporting us. Let me support Cincinnati. That's some positive programming.
It's easy to support Cincinnati sports. You got Ellie De La Cruz and Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. What's not easy to get on board with? Is that Skyline Chili?
Okay, this is positive programming. Keeping it positive.
Wait, what if DJ brings that to us today?
You can have mine.
I don't know
if
that.
I'm not eating
guys, I don't think that travels well.
Good
chili.
Point. Good point.
I don't know if that's going to travel well from Cincinnati
Smalls,
to New York.
It doesn't do anything well, Smalls. It doesn't.
You know who we can't have eat the Skyline Chili? Dan Orlovsky.
Oh, no. That's a problem.
Why is that?
I stand with Dan. It was a windshield wiper. He likes the show. Love you, Dan.
Smalls, let me ask you a question.
It's like putting a rocket booster on him.
if you could somehow place the face of baseball on someone and they become huge, is L.A. De La Cruz that guy? Would it still be Otani? I don't know what happened to Otani's translator and Jonte Porter, by the way. Those stories somehow went away with gambling. Where'd they go? But if you could name...
His bat didn't get lost in translation.
No.
The last 5 games.
But if you could name a face of baseball and they get marketing push like no other, is De La Cruz that guy?
He's one of them. He is so electric on the field, and as we're going to point out here, he's very endearing off the field as well. A lot of people are becoming familiar with Ellie De La Cruz, and they love him, and they love his story. So speaking of translators with Otani, Ellie De La Cruz, he is from the Dominican Republic, naturally a Spanish speaker, and he really wanted to learn English. It was very important to him. He says he wants to make sure that the media and the fans understand him and that he understands the fans. And after their game versus the Brewers last night, Ellie De La Cruz did his first post-game interview strictly in English. Here's what it looked and sounded like.
The inside the park home run. J.R. House was waving you around, but were you going to go regardless once it got past you?
Yeah. Anyways, I say when I see him missing that ball, I say I go home. doesn't matter what happens, I go home.
How enjoyable is that? And do you continue to say that running is the favorite part of baseball for you?
Yeah, that's my favorite part. And that, I mean, I enjoy that this, like, every moment. And that was electric. And the fans, electric every day, every night.
No doubt about that, that it's electric. Two home runs in this game, one off the batter's eye, 450 feet. Did you get the pitch you were looking for?
Yeah, 3-2 count. I was looking for fastball, and he told me. He told me the fastball, and I didn't miss.
So you guys are getting the point here. Ellie De La Cruz, not only is he so fast, he's hitting home runs from both sides of the plate. He did so great speaking English in his postgame interview. I just think it's so special that he really put effort into learning English because he wants to make sure that he can communicate with the media and the fans while he's playing for the Cincinnati Reds.
I love that awareness from Ellie De La Cruz, and I'm just sitting there thinking about what a phenom he is as a baseball player.
Oh, he's amazing.
And just the display of the sports character that we've seen so far, and I'm just thinking to myself, the Cincinnati Reds don't deserve him.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
The Cincinnati Reds, they don't deserve him. Like, of all, like, think about them, all the baseball franchises, like, they are one of the ones on a list where they don't deserve to have nice things. Like,
why
I feel like, no, they just don't. Think about it. I'm not sure if it was the owner or the owner's son from the Reds, but they came out last year and he said, yeah, what else are Cincinnati sports fans going to do?
Taunting the fans, not cool.
How bad the team was. I'm just saying, sometimes they fall into it, sometimes they luck into it.
How do we take a negative spin on this?
What do you mean? I think it's great. I think
yeah, I didn't like Phil Castellini's comments about
Phil
that
Castellini
with the fans.
Said that. I mean, that is something that the owner said about his own fan base.
That's better than Marge Schott.
The people that patronize his business. What else are they going to do? Hell of a sales pitch, Phil.
Guys, this is positive programming. I'm sorry. Positive.
Brought to us by Skechers.
Well, hold on. You were the one that started the trend of trying to turn positive programming.
Yeah, and I backed off. You walked in the door. You saw a hole.
Well, you opened it.
Well, I tried to close it.
Everybody love everybody.
If Pat is coming in saying everybody love everybody, we have gone off the rails.
Pat is talking about squatting in other people's homes. Like, I can't take him seriously.
Pat, are you on Zillow right now trying to look at houses?
No, but I have been looking up squatting laws in different states.
What other states are you considering?
Now look at what you're doing.
I'm sorry, this is your thing.
Connecticut's not great.
Positive programming.
Okay, positive programming. You know, nothing is more positive than a parent's love for their child. Evan, you're a father of two. You understand this. And let's go to hockey. Let's go to the hockey world right now. So Evgeny Malkin, his parents are in Russia. They had not seen him play in 5 years. They were in the house to watch the Pittsburgh Penguins take on the Tampa Bay Lightning. Malkin scored 2 goals that day. His parents crying at the sight of their son performing at a high level, just being able to be in the building and see him play and have success. It was really special to watch his parents be that emotional.
My parents are the same way with me. When they would watch me play football, they'd cry out of shame. Like, oh God, that's our son threw another interception. Can we claim another kid? Is that possible? My dad would be in there, oh God, this is what I produced. This guy, he can't even throw to the right team. I mean, very nice story, though. Very nice story.
Wow.
Did you play differently if your parents or certain people were in the house?
I don't know, because my dad was at every single game.
Same with mine.
My dad made it to every single game, home and away, high school, college, and pro.
I stunk no matter what.
So it was pretty cool. Now, I will say this. If my mom was there, like, she really couldn't be at a lot of my games. She was a pastor. Obviously, there's a conflict on Sunday. She's kind of doing something, kind of busy, saving people's souls. But when she could come to the games, like if we played on Monday night or if we played on Thursday night, it would be a little extra gas in the tank, a little extra juice.
I love that.
Because mom doesn't get a chance to see me play that often, so you got to make it special.
That is such an interesting dichotomy. I'm sure when you woke up on Sunday mornings thinking, I'm about to do something really important, and then compare it to what your mom was doing on Sunday.
I'm saving people's souls. She's saving people's
lives. And you were crushing people's souls.
How can you be mad at your mom for not making it to your game? Oh, why doesn't your mom come to the games? Well, she's busy trying to save people's souls and preaching on Sundays.
Mm. Pretty important stuff.
Pretty important stuff. Like, I wake up as an NFL player and realize on game day, what I'm doing is not the most important thing that somebody in our family is doing.
That's good perspective.
Yeah.
We need your mom to bless the show. Maybe she needs to save our souls.
I don't know if she can.
Mel Kiper will bless our souls next. His latest mock draft is out. We will talk to Mel next. It's on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
We need some holy water and a whole bunch of other stuff.
I'm glad you brought that up. Water is all you need, by the way, with True Green. To mow your lawn, water your lawn. That's it. Think about how many people are out there trying to make their lawn look good and they can't. All you need to do is use the water and mow your lawn. They're going to take care of the rest. That's why I use True Green. They're the official lawn treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They all know that some things are nice out there, right? There are some greens that are nice out there, but not to the level of what True Green can bring to you. So just imagine what they could do to your lawn. All you have to do is water and mow. And to top it off, when you sign up for an annual plan by April 20th, get one application free. Visit TrueGreen.com for the best lawn at the best price, guaranteed. Restrictions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Been saying it all show long. Two best words in sports. Not game seven. Mel Mock. Mel Kiper's Mock Draft 4.0 out today, ESPN.com. And he joins us now on Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Mel, thank you so much for a couple of minutes. We know, obviously, Caleb Williams, number one to Chicago. Let's talk 2 and 3 right now. How confident are you in what you put out today will actually be the picks come April 25th with Jaden Daniels, 2, Drake May, 3?
I'm pretty confident on Jaden at 2. Drake's a little bit interesting there because you keep hearing J.J. McCarthy, but I have J.J. in a trade going to the Minnesota Vikings because I don't think he is in that stratosphere in terms of the overall rating. When you can talk to teams, a lot of people think maybe mid to late first round grade. I'm at 14 on my big board, so I'm not convinced he's overtaken Drake May, but maybe there's some in the league that think he has or have him ahead of Drake May. But from a mock draft standpoint right now, I feel really good about 1 and 2. 3, a little less, but still feel pretty good about Drake May to New England. And then the trade is something you never know. Maybe he could drop to 11. Sometimes that happens. The guy falls to you because Denver's at 12, but Denver has no second-round pick to jump over Minnesota. That's why I didn't have Denver moving up. That's why I don't have Denver in the second round going up and getting a quarterback because they have no second-round pick, guys. So I think Denver's a complication there, but not having that 2 really hurts them.
Mel, there's been a lot of speculation about what the L.A. Chargers could do. A lot of people think that they could go wide receiver there. Some people think they could be offensive tackle. That could be a natural trade down spot. What do you envision the Chargers' draft plan is, their overall strategy in year one with Jim Harbaugh?
Yeah, I just talked about that, Chris, on Get Up. I think you have to see if Harbaugh wants to lose Malik Nabers and Romo Dunze by moving down, because if they do, they're gone. And there's 3 stud receivers in this draft: Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Romo Dunze. Then a drop off at wide receiver. So if you're okay with that, and you feel like, okay, we can still get an Xavier Worthy and Xavier Leggett, Brian Thomas Jr. maybe could be there at that point. So you're talking about moving off of that pick, get 11, and take the right tackle J.C. Latham, who they need, and he's a great run blocker and a heck of a player. And then at 23, get the receiver. It depends how they feel about the feeling about the receiver. The receivers they feel are just too good to pass up, and they need one, guys. Quentin Johnston last year, first round pick, was a disappointment with drops. Wasn't the factor he needed to be. He needs to step up big in year 2. Justin Herbert needs weapons, so it really gets down to that. Like I said, I don't have a problem either way for the Chargers, but I had to project that trade, and the Chargers made sense at 5 for the Minnesota Vikings to go up to that spot and get J.J. McCarthy.
Mel, I want to go back to the top 3 picks here. You have New England selecting quarterback Drake May. How firm are you on that? Do you think that there's any chance that New England could potentially trade out of that number three slot?
Yeah, I thought about that, Michelle, but they need a quarterback so desperately. So they're telling me that if they move out of there, they don't like J.J. McCarthy and Drake May. That's fine. But then do you not like Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix? Are you to try to get those one of those two, and you feel they're close enough to Drake May and J.J. McCarthy to wait it out? Somehow, some way, you're not going to tell me the four quarterbacks after the top two, the Patriots, who desperately need one, won't feel one of those four is good enough to be a Patriot. So at some way, somehow, some way, they're going to get one. So if somebody's jumping to three to get Drake May, why are you getting out of there? I understand you may not like him, but you're going to get a J.J. McCarthy. If you don't get either one of them, you got to get one of the other guys. Like I say, New England's got a quarterback issue, a quarterback problem. Yes, they need help at other spots, but the pass on a quarterback there is I would say, risky.
Mel Kiper joining us here on Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. His special, the Mel Kiper NFL Mock Draft 4.0, is today at 5 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2. Very much looking forward to that. Of course, the mock draft available at ESPN.com, as we've been discussing all show long. Mel, a lot of people have five quarterbacks in the first round. Some have six quarterbacks in the first round. You have four. You have Nix and Penix slipping to the second round. Why?
You talk to people in the league, the second round grades is basically what you hear. And I think, so, well, you had Denver taking Bo Nix in the last mock. Why don't you have Denver moving up to get him in? Denver doesn't have a second round pick, like I said before. So Denver's kind of hamstrung a little bit because of that. So my feeling is that, you know, the Giants, they've talked about them at six taking a quarterback. I think they take the receiver, help Daniel Jones, but get an insurance policy in case that Daniel, you know, doesn't stay healthy, doesn't improve and become the quarterback he looked like he was going to be 2 years ago. You go get Bo Nix, who's 24 years of age, a ton of starts, very accurate, great processor. Brian Daboll, I think, could like him. And he's got legs. He can beat you with his legs. He had a lot of rushing touchdowns over the last couple of years at Oregon. And Michael Penix Jr., the Rams, heir apparent to Matthew Stafford, move up and get him, just like Tennessee did last year to get Will Levis. So a similar scenario to what Tennessee did, I see happening here with Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr., both of whom are more second-round picks right now than first-round picks when you talk to people in the league. And in terms of my grades, guys, my grades have Nix at 31 and Penix Jr. at 35. So I have them not up in that top part of the first round or even in the middle of the first round right now.
Mel, I'm curious, just as a follow-up, with Michael Penix Jr.'s projection, how much of that is based on the production on the field versus the concern with injury?
Injury is the big thing. The Indiana injuries with the shoulder and the knee is the big thing with him. Yeah, despite the athletic numbers, he needs a clean pocket. Off platform's not his specialty. I think certainly with the Rams, you know, you look at a guy in the second round, heir apparent to Stafford. Stafford's there. Yes, he's going to be 24 years of age, but it's not going to hurt to sit for a year and learn and figure out the NFL. So I think from a standpoint of Michael Penix Jr., the consensus to the people I talk to is second round. Could somebody trade back into the late first and get Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr.? Sure they could, but you're not going to find a team necessarily at that point that I could see moving out, because some of those teams need help and they're going to find it. A lot of those teams in the late first round are going to find that help at wide receiver.
Mel, another team that's certainly drawing a lot of attention and a lot of intrigue is the New York Jets. They're in win-now mode with Aaron Rodgers going into his age 40 season coming off of an Achilles injury. You got him taking tight end Brock Bowers with the 10th overall pick. That feels like a little bit of a luxury considering some of the concerns that the Jets had on the offensive line from a year ago.
Yeah, I was torn there. I think trading down is the best option. I thought about that, but I didn't really have anybody. And I thought, well, who are they going to trade up to get? Who's going to be that guy we have to have? You know, we got to go get that guy at 10. I didn't feel comfortable making that move, and I didn't feel comfortable dropping Bowers down. Hey, they need him. This guy's not a tight end. He's a receiver, and they need a receiver. They have to have somebody. Williams has had injury issues. The offensive linemen they brought in are 33 with injury issues. So I get what you're saying about, hey, take J.C. Latham, take Fuaga at Oregon State, get some help on that offensive line with a young guy, unlike the two 33-year-olds that are good players, but they've had injury issues. So I'm with you. Vera Tucker's coming off an injury. So I get that, but I just think a weapon like Bowers is something they desperately need. He's a great player. He's sixth on my big board. You're picking at 10. That's what you want to do.
Mel, we have about 30 seconds here. Is there another player or team that you think could have some movement here in the draft that we should be paying attention to?
Well, I think Buffalo. Will they move up to inside the top six to get a receiver like Julio Jones? They moved up from 27 to 6 to get him. Atlanta did back in the day. Will Brandon Bean be aggressive? I think it might be too costly. Will they move up maybe 5-6 spots to get a receiver or sit where they are? I think Buffalo's how aggressive they are to get a wide receiver is something we're going to be watching very closely.
Mel, awesome job as always. His mock draft special tonight, 4.0, 5 p.m. Eastern, ESPN2. First draft podcast, ESPN app, Field Yates on that as well. Mel, we appreciate it, and I'm sure we're going to talk over the next couple of weeks, 5.0, et cetera, leading up to the draft.
You guys have a great day. Appreciate it, man.
All right, there's Mel Kiper Jr. That is fascinating about specifically Penix and Knicks.
Yes.
Because we've heard a lot of people put them up in the top 15 or 16. You have said, and we got your mock draft tomorrow, CeCe, that you don't think Penix maybe gets past the Raiders, Saints, that area, kind of the early teens, right?
No, I don't think so. And again, Mel just told you the biggest concern with him is the injury history. It only takes one team that's willing to look past that based on the talent on the field.
We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.